With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, I saw Tarkan, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again.
Hi, I'm Nick Capper, and I am with
Matt Stewart. Yeah. Did you forget my name there?
No, I was hoping you would say it then.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, I was trying to be cool.
That would have been real slick if I didn't fuck it up. You're on the road again.
Yes.
We're not really. We're sitting in a garage, but, you know, that's the... If you're not on the road, where else would you want to be than sitting in a garage?
Yeah.
Which is the place where you're about to go on the road.
Yeah. It's the home of the road.
The two states. Yeah, that's right. I'm only ever in two states, on the road, and if I'm off the road, I'm in a garage. Well, no, three states. I'm on the road, I'm in the garage, or I'm on the road again.
Yeah.
They're the only three states I exist in.
That's a circle of life.
Yeah, that's right. Hakuna Matata right there.
You can't have a road without a garage.
Yeah.
It's the birthplace of the road.
That's right. It's the womb.
And that's why we chose it. We want to be in the birthplace of the road. Man, now this, we go to Collector. I think there's only a short episode where we are on the way to Goulburn.
Yeah, I don't know what caught our attention as we were driving past, because we had to cruise off the highway to get here, and it was just a really quirky little place.
They had a cool sculpture there, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a cool sculpture, and I think a bushranger was involved at some point.
Oh,
like
yeah,
a tiny little place, which was packed with history.
A lot of death.
Yeah,
a lot of death.
A lot of sadness. And a cafe. And
it's all what you want in a podcast.
So we took a few photos. So, if you look at the hashtag OTRA or just follow Capra or I.
Hashtag OTRA.
OTRA, on the road again.
On the road again.
Otra.
Yeah. We'll have some limited edition, car mags out with our faces on them.
Yeah, that's right. So that's something to look forward to. Anyway,
we haven't researched what hashtag Otra is. That could be something else really bad.
Yeah. All of a sudden it's some sort of terrorist calling card or something.
Otra's terrorist regional
alliance.
Alliance.
Could be. It could very well be.
Have a listen and we'll check in back with you after this.
On the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love.
We're on the road again, Cap.
Oh, man, we have not decided on the name of the podcast yet. Can't we call it, like, Tales of the Adventurous Comedians or something? Or...
That's the shittest thing you've ever said.
Laughs on wheels.
Now we get warmer.
No, I don't know. I'm warming to it a little bit. On the road again. But then, I don't know. The road is so mysterious.
That's the beauty of it. And you're behind the wheel.
The road by not putting its name in this podcast.
You're behind the wheel now. Where, oh, my God.
Oh, I'm in fourth, I think.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Oh, no, I can smell the clutch. Oh, sorry, mate.
Oh,
I thought I was in second.
Oh, no.
Turns out I was in fourth. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Sorry, man. I think I've destroyed your car.
Oh, hell.
I was like, it's usually got a bit more give than this. It turns out I was in fourth.
That's giving me a headache.
I know, fuck. You can smell the clutch. So sorry, mate.
Apologise to me, apologise to the clutch.
Sorry, clutch.
Also, buy me a new clutch.
Yeah, I will.
So, we just stopped in a little town in New South Wales called Collector. We're on our way to Goulburn.
Yep.
We're on the road again,
yes,
on the way to Goulburn.
On the road again.
But we...
A tentative title for the podcast.
We stopped in Collector, which is this tiny little town According to its Wikipedia page, so it's not that tiny. It's got a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
But according to it, it has a population of 313 people as of 2016.
Okay.
And it, you know, it looks every bit of a 313.
Yeah. It wasn't much going there.
There was a cafe called Some Cafe.
Yeah. It was bloody nice.
There was a winery. There was the Bushranger Hotel.
Yep.
But I think we remembered why we stopped there, because in Canberra, one of Kappa's friends, Bob, he told us to go there because of this sculpture called Dreamer's Gate.
Yeah.
And we just checked it out. Then, what were your impressions of it before I read out some info about it to you?
Very freaky. It was a Blair Witch thing, Blair Witch type deal. It's the kind of thing where Matt and I, we're two comics, we're out in the Australian regional areas, we're getting along well, and then we see this sculpture in our travel, and it's kind of like a sign that things are getting spooky. It kind of sets the tone of a horror movie.
Yeah, it did feel like that town had a little bit of a vibe about it.
Yeah, it was built out of what, chicken mesh and concrete, had this gothic kind of feel. It had the pub across from the Bushranger Hotel, and it was one of those pubs that's like a double decker, but it wasn't next to anything. The pub was just by itself, which is weird. You know, usually it joins onto a house or something or whatever. I don't know why that's weird, but it's weird.
They did three things there. The sign out the front said meals, beers, rooms.
Yeah.
I love a building with rooms.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's you could stare straight at the sculpture. Imagine looking at that before you go to sleep after a few scooies.
Yeah, I feel like maybe that's why it's a controversial sculpture. So you're right, it was made out of chicken wire and concrete from a wooden frame. And it was made by artist Tony Fantastes, going to pronounce it. And he built it between 93 and 97. So it's been up for a while.
Yeah. We should do this more about each town, shouldn't we? Like facts.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that gives people a reason to listen to this.
So that on the Wikipedia page it says that it's one of the reasons the collector is famous, and you know it's obviously a pretty famous town, but this is just one of the reasons. The sculpture's called Dreamer. Okay. It was built to commemorate the artist's father and his son's life, amongst other things. It is a Gothic structure. Well done, Kappa.
Yes. Yep.
That's something I realised last time we were on a tour through Canberra. I found out that you're a big art man.
Yes, yeah, I was pretty pumped to go to the... We didn't go there this time, but because I'd already seen a lot of them, but big fan of Australian artists Ian Fairweather and James Gleeson. And also they've got a Magritte at Canberra, which I was particularly buzzed about. I've also got a Rothko, but it's like a good Rothko. I mean, all the Rothko's good, but this one's particularly one of my favourites.
Yeah, it's the Rothkoist of them.
Yeah, it's Rothko, yeah.
So it's a Gothic structure.
Yeah.
And it was controversial because the local Gunningshire Council were in a constant battle regarding the structure between 1997 and 2004, as the plot which the structure stands was for sale and the sculpture itself was under demolition orders. The council wanted it gone.
Ah.
But it still stands on Wikipedia as of November 2016. But as of this podcast, it still stands as of September 5th, 2019.
Wow. So picture this, right? You've got a big block of land for sale. Old mate builds a crazy sculpture on it. Surely someone, because it's a big sculpture.
Yeah.
Someone said, like early into the sculpture, hey, bro, what's going on? Why are you building this?
Yeah, I wonder, because at first I was assuming it was his land that was being sold. He built it, but you think it was just, it was vacant land.
Yeah.
That's how you read it. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, is there any information on this bloke? Is there any information on the artist?
Yeah, let me see.
Does he have a Wikipedia page?
No, I'm always disheartened when they're not hyperlinked.
Yeah.
Let's see that. There's a... There's an article linked here.
Oh.
It's a government article. on environment.gov.au, the Australian Heritage Database.
I think I like the sculpture. I do really like it, because usually when you have like country art, it's all the same. It's like some fucking bit of metal welded together in like a
beautiful... look like a chicken.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's out of car parts. Or it goes the other extreme, where it's like this beautiful sphere or something like that, that's on a bit of wood. It's kind of all samey, you know, or it's a painting of a landscape. That's it. Or an animal of some kind. But that...
You've named four different things so far, and it seems like you're thinking of more as you go.
Yeah,
but that's it.
It kind of feels all the same. That isn't... Yeah, you're right, man. You have poured out a fatal flaw in my in my argument here. But yes, out of those four, this sculpture does not fit on those four samey things, even though they're all totally different. But yeah, it seemed to have its own style that I kind of liked.
Now that I read Gothic, it does remind me of old Gothic cathedrals in like Prague or something.
It seemed to have stairs going up the side. I should have walked up them, but I didn't. I had no interest with interacting with it too much. I thought it might be cursed.
Also, it was a facade.
Yeah, that when the steps aren't real, that's when you know you're in for some real trouble.
Yeah. Okay, so this article here on the Australian Heritage Database shed some light. It says Dreamer's Gate is located at Lot 2, Section 4, Church Street, Collector, on a 6-acre property purchased by the artist Tony Fantastes in 1992. In order to develop a sculpture studio and open-air gallery. The memorial is 7 metres high, 26 metres long, and is set back 10 metres from the property line. When complete, the piece will be approximately 34 metres long. The final 8-metre section will incorporate a large awning currently on the property. Access to the site is from... All right, some of that is not really required. Yeah. But yeah, so that's... when was this article... This article looks like it's not dated, but it sounds like it was written in the 90s, so before it was completed. But so he owned the property at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. So then once he sold it, then people were like, we'll knock it down. Yeah. Is the government like, we'll knock it down now?
But maybe it sounds like more like it's, to me, I'm guessing that the council are just like, it's an eyesore or something.
Yeah, it's an eyesore.
But that's often what happens with things that become iconic, right?
Yeah.
Eiffel Tower's the one example I always think of.
Really?
The people of Paris hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, what is the reason behind Eiffel Tower?
I'm going to get this wrong, but I vaguely remember that it was built for an expo or something. And it was only meant to be temporary.
Ah, gotcha.
And then, and people hated it, but then it was useful as an antenna or something.
Ah.
And then eventually the people turned around and started loving it.
And then you got people flying there from the Gold Coast to propose and kiss and shit.
Yeah, but on the other hand, people do fly from Paris to surfers to propose, so.
Yeah, that is widely known in the... Ah, another bunch of Frenchies at the Gold Coast looking to elope.
Yeah, they get a lot of people, a lot of French get engaged at the Dog and Parrot in Robina.
On top of the Riddler ride at Movie World.
Yeah. Hollywood on the Gold Coast. Aquaman was filmed there, all right?
Oh, yeah.
It's got cultural significance.
Does. Imagine getting married in front of the studio that made Aquaman. Now that is my dream bride.
That is romance.
I think I collector, I'll give it a 6 out of 10.
Before you make a hard call on it, can I tell you about a bushranger incident?
Okay, well, hang on. I take back. Tell me about the bushranger incident.
Okay, let me see if I can find it. I was reading it just before. That was in a different article. Sorry, one second. So, obviously the pub there that you noticed was called the Bushranger Hotel.
Yep.
And...
A major selling point. They're like, hang on, I was not thirsty for a beer, but this pub is named after a bushranger. I wonder if there's a Harley T-shirt that I could purchase. And they're like, no, you can only get that in Glen Rowan.
Yeah, we wanted to, but they got copyright on it. Yeah. They got in first. You know, that's their genius. All right, this is from aussietowns.com.au.
Okay.
It says, the events of 26th of January, 1865 ensured that the Bushranger Hotel's place in Bushranger history, and particularly in the life and times of Ben Hall.
Ah.
I don't actually, is this the Bushranger Hotel? This might be... This is at the Kimberley's Inn, which maybe they've renamed, I'm not sure. But it used to have five inns because it was a key route to the Snowy River, Snowy Mountain. I guess the hydro scheme, maybe?
Ah, right. Okay, cool. Got you. So it's like, oh, do you have a room for the night? Coming through, are you?
Yeah,
to buddy build a river, huh? Yeah, gotcha.
Well, actually, I don't know. It was the main route to the Snowy Mountain, so maybe that was pre-Snowy Mountain scheme. I'm not great with time and history. That probably happened later.
Yeah, you only
that was later than Bushranger.
You only work on a major historical podcast, but hey, it's cool.
So, Ben Hall's this Bushranger. I'd never heard of him, but apparently on that day, 26th of January, 1865, Ben Hall and his gang had slid past a posse which was out looking for them. They held up the publican there, and on their way into town, the gang fired at a horseman, but the gunshot attracted the attention of the town's constable, a 38-year-old man named Samuel Nelson, a father of eight.
Oh.
8 by 38, the old rule of family.
Jesus Christ. Imagine having eight kids at our age.
I reckon he would have believed in Jesus Christ somehow.
I think he would have put himself in front of the gun.
Hey, there's... Sorry. I'm sure.
Nothing wrong with big families. I'm just saying I could...
You know, my dad's one of 14, 13.
I know. Well, that's why your grandfather's a national hero, but... Because I would have turned to the gun after at least six.
There was... Moorabbin would not exist as a suburb if it wasn't for him and his brood.
Jesus Christ. 14. Yeah, anyway, so what?
So the cop then brought in two of his sons to take on the gang.
Yep.
And one of the gang, a particularly, according to AussieTowns.com, a particularly unsavoury thug named John Dunn had been left outside to guard the pub. When confronted by the constable, he shot him dead with both a shotgun and a pistol. The constable died in the arms of his teenage son. Oh, shit.
Oh, no. Oh, no. This is... I take back all the jokes I said previous to this.
John Dunn.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
What a dog. It's a comment on Australia's attitude to its history that the first memorial to Sam Nelson wasn't erected in Collector until 40 years after his murder, and that the original monument has been replaced by a rather handsome granite column which reads, "This monument is erected by the Government of New South Wales to the memory of Constable Samuel Nelson, who was shot dead on this spot whilst in the execution of his duty by the outlaw John Dunn on 26th of January, 1865. Some widders named it Nelson's Column, which, you know, the London... It's a big, famous London landmark, Nelson's Column. I love it, some wit, eh?
Well, some wag. Look, I'll tell you what. We discussed before the heroism of Ned Kelly, all that, but you got to remember, fathers of eight died when these heroes
sons
were running around, yeah. That's when it really brings it to home. Yeah. You're like, oh, cool. I'm wearing a Ned Kelly shirt with a fucking Harley Davidson on the front. What a hero. But then you've got these bush rangers that actually fucking killed a lot of families. And back then, you didn't have compo or anything.
Yeah.
Now the police wouldn't look after you. Just like...
Eight kids are just...
Oh, man.
But the, Is Ned Kelly never... He's never been accused of doing anything. Well, that's like real cold-blooded murder. Right? Wasn't he meant to be the Robin Hoodie guy? I have read a lot about him in the past, but...
Oh, really? I'm thinking, wrong.
I don't know if he ever... I think he did kill cops.
Yeah.
But it was in gunfights. Not
cold-blooded.
But maybe...
Maybe he gave him a little warning. Maybe he just, like, blew a little horn, like... Okay, guys, you got time to get out.
I don't know how I'm drawing a line there. Maybe there is no line. The cops are doing their job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky
one. And then Ned Kelly did have a gang, so maybe they did some cold-blooded murders. Also, It's the quick and the dead back in these times.
Yeah.
You're just like, well, if I don't shoot someone, I'm going to die.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. The cop's coming at you with a gun, maybe.
But yeah. why would Nelson come straight at John Dunn without any backup or anything? Yeah, a bit of a dick move. Like, he should have thought of his 8 kids and just maybe waited 4 days till some backup came. Because the posse were out looking for him, they managed to avoid the posse. Wouldn't the posse be close or something? But then again, he would have known about the posse.
Right.
They didn't have walkie-talkies, did they?
They would have had to have Morse coded it or something.
Fuck.
Telegram.
Now, apparently, there's a new movie made. Well, it was made a couple of years ago or something. I nearly got a part in it. The Legend of Ben Hall.
Oh, really?
So it was like an independent production. It got a small, very, very tiny cinema release. But I was fans with it on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Because I was still trying to get in there.
So you're familiar with Ben Hall?
No, I'm not familiar with it. I just saw it. They were trying to make a Ned Kelly style. They might have sold it to America. I don't know.
Because it does feel like Ned Kelly movies have been done. There's so many.
Yeah,
One of the first ever feature films was a Ned Kelly film.
Yes. Yeah. I tell you what, man. I forgot to tell you this before.
It's like in 1902 or something.
Mick Jagger. Oh, no, sorry.
That was the Mick Jagger one.
That's how old he is.
He's been around for a while.
Mick Jagger was in a Ned Kelly style one. But, if you want to watch a good Bushranger movie, maybe you've seen it before, but it's the best.
Reckless Kelly with Yahoo series.
Yes, that is a classic. Or Mad Dog Morgan, Dennis Hopper.
Okay.
The most amazing film. It's great. And it was great because Dennis Hopper, Jack Nicholson, all those guys, they were all nutcases back in that era where they were just like taking opiates all the time and getting fucked up. And so they managed to find Dennis Hopper to play Mad Dog Morgan in Mexico somewhere. And he was drinking all the time, getting into character because he was going full method. Because he was like this kind of Irish nutcase. That's why they called him Mad Dog, because he was an absolute mad dog. And so they got him to Sydney, and this is how method he went. Got kicked out of 4 pubs, including a lifetime ban.
Right.
Yeah.
A lifetime ban in a pub.
And they said they had to have wranglers to just keep him on set all the time, because he's constantly drunk. Saying that, his performance is flawless.
Right.
It's one of the best movies, yeah. Yeah.
Was he a method guy or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, full method, yeah, yeah. So I mentioned that 4 times, but it's good you were listening. you piece of shit.
Sorry, I've just been...
There's 2 signs here going to Goulburn.
Ah,
which one do we go?
They're both pointing left.
They're both pointing left, different roads. Where do we go?
There's only one road going left. It's definitely left.
Yeah,
here's the big marina. We're going to go to the big marina.
Yeah, let's go to the big marina. All right, so...
I just want to say before we stop off here...
Yeah.
So the story of the Kelly Gang, 1906. So that was the... it's apparently now recognised as the world's first feature-length film.
Ah.
Ran at 60 minutes. There's been so many Ned Kelly films. It lists Reckless Kelly on this list. There was the one by... Mick Jagger that you mentioned, which is pretty wild as an idea.
I'd like to see that. I wonder if it's any good.
I feel like it probably isn't.
I've got a feeling it isn't either. Yeah.
And then there's one coming up relatively soon that Russell Crowe's involved in.
Oh, I've heard about this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't know why you would want to ruin the spirit of Heath Ledger, but Russell's unstoppable now.
In Heath Ledger's one, Powderfinger cameoed as an old bush band.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Oh, really? I never saw the Heath Ledger one.
I saw it at the cinemas.
Yeah, good?
Yeah, I liked it at the time.
I mean, it's hard. Movies, because that was around the 90s.
A little bit, I think.
Yeah, that was around 2001 or something. That's when movies were very over-dramatised for a bit.
Right.
You know, Now they're even more, but that time, at that point, it was like, hey.
It had, how's the cast of that? So it had, it was directed by Gregor Jordan, but it had Heath Ledger as Kelly. Then the gang included Orlando Bloom, Jeffrey Rush, I think, was one of the cops, and Naomi Watts was in it as well. So it's a pretty handy cast for an Aussie film.
Yeah, that's very handy cast. Oh, look, I've changed my score after hearing that fucking devastating story. I'm giving Collector a 9 out of 10.
Wow, yeah, it is amazing. Such a tiny little town.
Yeah.
And it has, like, I mean, one, a kind of cool modern story with that controversial art piece, and then this sort of fucked up old bushranger story from 140 years ago.
Probably the most interesting place we've... Also, what's really dumb is that we went through Canberra, the capital of Australia, recorded basically a 10-minute episode. Collector gets a good solid what?
Pushing towards 23.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, we're here at the Big Merino.
So, well, yeah, we'll catch up with you on the next episode, talk to you a little bit about Goulburn. See you soon when we're on the road again.
What's your anticipation for Goulburn tonight, mate? What are you going to do? Last night I did stuff from this year's show.
Yep.
Because I'm trying to get ready to do this filming thing, make it all tight. I forgot to turn my recorder on, though, so I could pull myself up on my ums and ahs. You did a fair bit of old, a little bit of new.
Yeah, I did a mix. I did some really old stuff, which I often do when I'm traveling around the place. I pull out a few old bits.
Yeah.
But I think I did bits from each show and some new bits that'll be for next year's show. But I think I'm going to try and do maybe slide in a brand new bit tonight.
Yeah, I reckon it's good. Yeah, I reckon we should do that.
Yeah.
All right, well, tonight's gig should be good. It won't be as warm as last night because there'll be a lot of people there who don't know us. Last night, a lot of people knew us. They were there. It was a sick crowd. They were up for it. Tonight might be a bit more of a battle, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, last time we did a show at this place, I remember being a really fun show, though.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And we had all these comedy aficionados.
Yeah.
Kind of afterwards.
I think that's the key. It's just, like, comedy-savvy people.
Mm.
But, I mean, I like all crowds, really.
Apparently it's selling well. I've already sold, like, 30 or 40 or something like that.
Yeah, it's a small... It's a 60-seater, so...
I don't...
Last night sold out, and I think it's, like, a... Yeah, but... Yeah. It was a bit of a bigger room, so... Yeah, it's going to be a different kind of show, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, so we'll let you guys know afterwards how we go.
All right, laters.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, we are back. What an episode. I cannot believe that.
Man, I'm coming down. It's like I've taken ecstasy
in
my ears. And I don't know if I can listen to anything again.
Well, luckily there's more episodes to come. But this kind of reminds me, that's
lucky.
I think that is the third episode and it's even better than the first two. This kind of reminds me of when the Beatles were 1, 2, and 3.
On the charts.
On the charts.
Yes. The Holy Trilogy. The Holy Trilogy. Yeah, the Trilogy.
Remember, we all remember the Holy Trilogy.
The
Fab Three.
It was, I felt like George Harrison. He's my favourite Beatle.
I think he's my favourite Beatle as well.
That's good.
But they're all great Beatles.
They're all great.
Down to Stuart Sutcliffe or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah. Don't talk about him.
No, don't we? All right. Pete Best, do we talk about him?
Oh, yeah, we might talk about it.
George Martin. I mean, so many great Fifth Beatles. Who's your favourite Fifth Beatle?
There's a great... Oh, fuck. I don't know how long we're meant to keep this going for this outro, but there's a great story that Jack Drew showed me, and it had Pete Best on a talk show, and he tells the most boring story in the history of man where they were all painting a house, the Beatles, and it turns out that John was short-sighted and he got the painting wrong.
That's a nice anecdote. I love an insight. I reckon that's the kind of anecdotes we share on this podcast as well. The greatest podcast ever recorded.
So, yeah, keep a lookout. Hashtag Otra. We hope that hashtag Otra isn't anything bad. And, yeah, check out all our other podcasts. I'm at Kappa Flapper if you want to do Twitter. If you want to hit us back with any facts about Collector or any stories you have from Collector, let us know.
Everyone's got a collector story.
Let us know how this is going, because we'll probably do this tour again, maybe, together.
I think that at the end of that tour, the organisers are already saying we'll try and do it about the same time. So,
let us know how this is going. Might try and make a bit of a thing.
You can find me at MattStew_art on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, MattStew Comedy. Links to this will be in the show notes. And, yeah, hit us up about whatever you like. We're here for you. That's the main thing. This is sort of a Trojan horse of a podcast.
Yeah.
The real message is we're here for you.
We are here for you. And we can't wait to get on that road again.
Like we always say, stay on that road again.
I thought it was see you on the road again.
See you on that road again.